Tess Eoff, Friday the 19th of April, Rabbi Dr. Svi Belovsky, Holiness and Altruism, The Challenge of Holiness.
Good morning. The opening sequence of Parshas Kedoshim is one of the most well-known passages in the Torah, but probably one of the most difficult to interpret and understand properly. Daber el kol adas b'nei Yisrael, so the Midrash says on this, that this is something of clear, great significance. It is said to the entire B'nai Yisrael. So what's the big deal? What's the big message? V'omarto aleihem, and say to them, Kadoshim to you, be holy. Ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. And this is where it gets difficult, because the qualification, why be holy, seems the second part of the Pasuk is explaining the first part. Kadoshim tihiyu, why? Ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. The truth is there are quite a number of other places in the Torah where we are exhorted to be holy, but without any explanation as to what that actually means. So we're going to explore. There is a midrash, at Teres Kahanim. Kadoshim tihiyu, ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. Loimor. Imadishim atem atzmechem. If you sanctify yourselves, ma'ali ani aleichem ki'ilu kidashtim oisi. I will consider as though you have sanctified me. So it seems to be saying, well, by sanctifying yourself, you will thereby sanctify me. But more well known, which is quoted by Rashi, is a midrash, appears in various places, but here, why is the parsha of the forbidden relationships, which is the main topic of Achrei Mos, why is it juxtaposed to Parshas Kedoshim? Elamedcha, to teach you, shekol mokum sha'ata moitzi bo geder erva, wherever one finds caution, rules about sexual immorality, Atamoitza Kedusha, that's where one finds holiness. And as follows, Rabbi Yehuda ben Pazi's other statements as a medrash, Kol Misha who goida atzmina erva nikra kodesh. Anyone who creates boundaries for himself in the area of forbidden relationships is called a kodesh. This midrash makes the posuk extremely difficult to read. Kadoshim tiyu, okay. That can be juxtaposed to the Parsha of Arroyos. But once it says, Ki kodosh ani Hashem Elokeichem, be holy, what does that mean? Avoid forbidden relations. Why? Because that's what God does. Ki kodosh. How does the second part, how does the symmetry in the Pasuk now work? So Rashi is really quoting this Midrash and other sources, Kadoshim to you, probably one of the more well-known Rashis in the Torah, Hevu Purushim min Arroyos uminho Aveiro. Presumably Arroyos is included in Aveiro, but he says Arroyos and Aveiro. Exactly why he separates them. Separate yourselves from Arroyos, from sexual immorality, clearly drawing on the juxtaposition of the parshias mentioned in the midrash that we just quoted, umino aveira, and from sin, shekol mokum sha'ata moitzi geder erva ata moitzi kedusha, citing almost verbatim Yehuda ben Pazi in the midrash, which is difficult. It's attractive in terms of the juxtaposition, but how is Rashi reading the rest of the posuk? Not really clear. If the Rashi and the Midrashi are well known, the Ramban is probably, arguably, the most well known Ramban in the entire Torah, widely quoted. So Rashi so the Ramban first quotes Rashi, and then he starts to wonder whether this Rashi really is the right reading of the Pasuk. So having cited Rashi, the Ramban says, "Av Alboteres Kahanim, Ro'isi Stam." I see Purushim to you, be separate, without any qualification, without any reference to a particular type of separation. The Midrash that Rashi has drawn on refers it specifically to Arroyos because of the juxtaposition of the Parshias. Whereas the Ramban says, no, there's another Midrash, Purushim to you, without any qualification. And he prefers that. And he says, if Avachain Shon Ushon, the rabbis also learn in Shemini. At the end of Parsha Shemini, this Kaddish Demisyon Kadoshim Ki Kadosh Ani, Kashem Shani Kadosh, Kachatem Tu Kadoshim. And the Ramban is, of course, aware of the need to understand the Pasuk in a symmetrical way. Quoting Chazal in Shemini, Kashem Sha'ani Kodesh, just as I am holy, Kach Atem Tiyu Kodoshim, so too you should be holy. So you see, he's expecting the holiness to match. Be holy, just as I am holy. Maybe Ki is being read not because, but just as I am holy. Kashem Sha'ani Porush, Kach Atem Tiyu Prushim. So the end of the Midrash is hard to understand, the Ramban is citing. Just as I am Porush, what does Porush mean? I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, am Porush. What does that mean? Separate, distinct from the physical world, completely unengaged in physical matters? Perhaps you should be the same. Ulefi Dati, and this is the famous bit, the Ramban says, Eina Precious Hazoi, this precious, which is unspecified, unqualified in the Midrash that I prefer, says the Rambam, in my view, this is not an explicit reference to Arroyas, as Rashi suggests. It's the type of precious that is referred to the usual usage of the word precious throughout the Talmud, through which, rather unhelpfully, the Ramban says, you know what a Porush is? It's someone, precious is practiced by someone who's called a Porush. Shabalehon nikroim Purushim. Okay. Va'inyun, so what is this? Ki atoris hiru ba'arois ma'acholim ha'asurim. The Torah warns against forbidden sexual relationships. It warns against forbidden foods. However, it allows comparable experiences. It allows marital intimacy in a particular context. It allows one to eat meat and drink wine. I enjoy the physical world, enjoy the physical pleasures. Purushim does not mean, as Lahavdil, it has been understood to mean by other religions, to be celibate or to wear a hair shirt and live on a mountaintop. That's not the Jewish way. So what is Jewish precious, given that the Torah permits marital intimacy, good food and wine, the pleasures of the physical world? Imkain, so balatai v'mokam liois shotuf bezimas ishtoi anoshev harabois. The problem is now is that the Torah allows, it would seem, for a person within the letter of the law to spend his life in indulgent physical pleasures, immersed completely in sexual activity with his wife or many wives, as the Ramban says, and to be misoive yaim v'zoile bosso, and to be a boozer and a glutton. It's the colloquial translation. And to talk about the most repulsive things, providing there isn't an explicit prohibition in the Torah. This is what we call elsewhere the need to be aware of the spirit of the law and not just the letter of the law. The letter of the law would allow the person to have multiple wives and spend his whole day in indulgent sexual activity, to drink himself stupid on wine that had the best hechsher, and to gorge himself on glut meat. Right? Please laugh only at the jokes. And the person will be a novel b'shus haTorah. This is the famous phrase. There are many. A scoundrel. A vulgarian. I like the word vulgarian. It's not Bulgarian, that's something else. A vulgarian with the mandate of the Torah. A vulgar person with the mandate of the Torah. Lefichach boa kosov. And therefore this posuk comes to regulate not just the letter of the law, which has already been provided for by all the other Isurim and requirements of the Torah, both in Parshas Kedoshim and elsewhere, but to regulate the spirit, the attitude, the approach, even within those things that the Torah technically permits. After these rules that forbid things are specified, then there's a general rule. An overarching, if you like, it's an outlook, it's a perspective, it's a conceptual framework within which all of the Torah should be observed, and the parts that the things you're allowed to do should have to be done within this framework. Shinie purushim minamosoros, that one should abstain from luxuries or excess. And he gives various examples based on what he said before. One is it's permitted marital intimacy, but it should be to a modest level. One is permitted good food and wine, but again, a modest level, and so on and so forth. That is what how the Ramban understands it. So it's a very, very, very well known, and so on. And they're really basing themselves on different midrashim. Rashi feels tied to the juxtaposition. And the Ramban says, we've got other midrashim which don't tie us to necessarily to Arroyas, and therefore the Ramban is seeing it as a kind of overarching, a principle. Kadoshim Tiyu means, once you know all the rules, don't abuse them on technicalities. Behave in a modest, sensible way. What he says, don't be a novel B'shus HaTorah, be someone who is Purushim Min Amosoros. But this does not make it any easier to read the Posuk. Kadoshim Tiyu. In fact, it's even more difficult now. Ki Kodosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem. The Ramban says, separate from excess. Use even those things that are permitted cautiously, abstemiously. Why? Ki Kodosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Because that's what God does. I use the resources of this world abstemiously and only use them really as necessary. Well, that doesn't make sense at all. How are we reading the continuation of the Posuk? So this remains a difficulty. Now, there's another Midrash, actually in the same Parsha as the one we read before, Midrash Rabbo. Kadoshim Tiyu, Yochel Kamoini. You might have thought you could be like me. Talmud Loimo, Ki Kadosh Ani, for I am holy. My holiness is superior to your holiness. So initially this seems very odd. The posuk that is being brought to prove the point seems to say the opposite. Be holy because I'm holy. Be holy as I am holy. Which means the Midrash is reading the word ki differently. I suggest that this Midrash reads the word ki as although. Be holy despite you can still be holy. Even though I am holy, even though my holiness is unattainable, it's completely beyond your capabilities, I am utterly different and distinct from anything else in the universe, Kodesh Baruch Hu, despite that, you can still be holy. You might have thought, says the Midrash, Yochol Kamoini, therefore the Posuk comes and says, no, you can't be like God. You can attempt to emulate some aspects of his existence. What is called in the Torah, Beholachta Bidrochov, you can emulate the divine. What is called elsewhere, Imitatio Dei, right, in Latin. Just let me know when the next person quotes in Latin from this show. Okay, now. Ki Kodosh Ani. But the key is being read here as although. You can be still there. Just don't think that because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so different and completely distinct from everything in your world, that you have no possibility of attaining any... No, you can still be holy. And it's on that basis, I think, that that in the famous Hakdoma of the Shari Yosher of Shimon Shkop, he addresses this question. He quotes the Ramban. So Shimon Shkop was one of the most famous, perhaps the most prominent pre-war Rosh Hashiva. And his book of Lomdus, Shari Yosher, is famous, still studied in yeshivas today. But the Hakdoma to the Shari Yosher is really not about the topic of the book at all. It's really a pitch for a certain Torah ideology, learning as the focus of human experience, the pinnacle of human experience. That's really the second part of the Hakdoma. But the opening part is an analysis of Kadoshim Tiyu, and particularly of the view of the Ramban. Let's consider part of it. So, Divrei HaMidrash Einom Muvonin. The Midrashim are very hard to understand on this. When it comes to precious, and both Rashi and the Ramban agree that the word, the Kedoshim, means precious, it just applied differently. How can one emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because actually what the Pasuk, if you understand the Midrash we just read, is that God's saying, well, actually that's not what God wants. Because the Midrash says, Yochel Kamoini, maybe you can be like, no, you can't be like me. So what that is, what are you supposed to be like? I'm holy, you can't be like me. What is it that you are supposed to do? The Yosukasha Lahovin Masha Masik Kedushosilamani Kedushaschem. Furthermore, it's hard to understand the conclusion of this Midrash. To move on, ze oleinu lahovin, it's self-evident that human beings can't be like God. Well, I mean, obviously. In which case, what's the Pasuk saying? What's the Midrash saying? There is Yesh Dimion. So he says there is actually a comparison. The suggestion of the Midrash is that there is some comparison, there is some similarity. It's just shekedushosoi yosu kuleles umakefes. It's just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's holiness, whatever that means, is more all-encompassing. It's bigger. It's more substantive and encompassing. Ve'im ne'mar de'ikah muvan HaKadosh Hashem dorish mitanu v'mitzvah zosh kadoshim tiyul isracha min ha'musoros. And if we accept the Ramban, that what Kedoshim Tiyu means in practice is to use permitted physical resources abstemiously rather than overindulge in luxuries. If that is what the Pasuk means, which is, as we saw, how the Ramban understands it, Kedoshim Zoi Eino Misyacheses Klal LaHashem Misporach. This type of Kedusha seems to have no shaykhus, no association whatsoever. Abstention from luxury doesn't seem to have any association with the Kedusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in which case, how do we understand the symmetry in the Pasuk? L'chein nira l'nivastaiti. In my humble opinion, says Rav Shimon Shkop, you have to read it like this. She'b'mitzvah zoi kolul kol yesoid v'shoyresh magmas tachlis chayenu. That's a pretty big statement. This mitzvah incorporates the very foundation and root of the aspiration of the function of our lives. That's pretty strong stuff. So, Kedoshim Tiyu for Rav Shimon Shkop defines the purpose of our existence. Shiyu kol avodoseinu va'amoleinu tomid mukdoshim l'tovas haklal. That everything we do, every resource, every capability has to be harnessed and devoted to the benefit of the klal, of the community. L'tova saklal. Shelo nishtamish b'shum maisa v'tenua. That one should not use any action or even movement, and they should not be utilize those things. Hanoa tanuk shelo yebazeh eza inyan l'tova zuloseinu. Nothing we do should not have within it some possibility or aspiration to benefit others. Then we can see every Kedusha, every concept of Kedusha in the Torah is harnessed to this weighty and important objective. How? When a person directs his actions, v'shoef, and he desires, shetomid yudarchei chayov mukdoshim laklal, that everything, and he desires that constantly his life path should be devoted to the community. Oz kol masha oisa gam laatzmoi lavrois kufoi v'nafsho hu misyachis gam kein el mitzvah skedusha. That means that even though I have to eat, I have to procreate, I need to earn a living, I have to engage in the real world, once my intention, engaging in those things, is primarily the Tovus HaKlal, then even the pleasures and experiences for myself are also considered the Tovus HaKlal. It's a kind of a longish solution to the problem. So, how so? And that means they become part of Shaykhis El Mitzvah's Kedusha. Why? So that becomes part of the Kedusha framework. Even when I'm drinking a glass of wine, eating a steak, those things become part of an experience geared to the benefits of the community. And how do you determine whether what I'm doing for myself is for myself alone, or enable to me to be functional, healthy, happy, and therefore capable of serving the community, benefiting Klal Yisrael and improving the world? Because when I use things as needed, I just do them as needed. But if I use them for luxury, then once we move into the realm of luxury, or excess might be a better translation, once we move into the realm of excess, then the excess cannot have any benefit beyond personal interest. And so the Ramban is saying that, sorry, Rav Shimon Shkof is saying that what the Ramban means is to separate Purushim in Amosoros means to use the world in a way that it's evident and obvious and constantly in mind that our actions are for the benefit of others. Luzulos Zuluzaisen, as he says, for others. So how so now? Because it is axiomatic that the Ribbono Shelolam interacts with this world, Latovosenu, for our benefit, in our interest. And although, of course, that pure interest for other cannot be replicated by human beings because we have needs, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, axiomatically, has no needs. Nonetheless, we've now, using the Ramban and Reb Shimon Shkop's understanding, rebuilt the symmetry in the Posuk. How? Kadoshim Tiyu, according to Reb Shimon Shkop's understanding of the Ramban, it means utilize the world in a way that the resources and my energies are devoted to others. How do you decide that? Well, if I'm just doing what I need, fueling my body, experiencing the world in a way that I'm happy and healthy so that I can serve others, that's fine. If I use luxury or excess, that indicates that I've stepped beyond that boundary. Why? It's true, even though, Yochel Kamoni, I can't do it to the same extent as a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Nonetheless, Ki Kodosh, I am holy, be like me. I, a Kodesh Baruch Hu, interact with the world in a one-way direction. I devote my resources and energies and thoughts, as it were, anthropomorphized to you, and you can do the same. And now, we have a competent understanding of the Posuk, using the key. We have the two parts of the Posuk, and we've reread the Rambam using Rav Shimon Shkop in this way. So that's, I think, a kind of a helpful way to understand it. Now, to finish, but from Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch in these things very often follows the Ramban. He doesn't actually very often quote other sources. But he has said some interesting things which I think very much relate to the way Rav Shimon Shkop understands, understood the Posuk and the Ramban. So he starts by saying, Mitzvah Kedoshim Tiyu is a command to strive for the highest degree of human moral perfection. And therefore, it's rightfully expressed to every individual, irrespective of status, gender, age. That's the understanding why it's kol kadosh. That's why it's to everyone. That's why it's addressed to everyone, because we all must be kadoshim holy. This is not addressed to any individual or group, it's addressed to everyone. What does kadusha mean? To be ready and willing to perform all that is good. A person cannot attain this virtue unless his whole being is so steeped in morality that the opposite of the good, the inclination to evil, no longer has a place within his being. The statement by our sages in Teres Kahanim, Purushim Tiyu, underscores this negative aspect. It also points out the way that leads to much work is required of anyone seeking to attain the heights of Kedusha. This is attained through mastery. This is the key part that I want to share with you, over all one's powers and faculties, and over all the temptations and inclinations associated with them, to be ready and willing to do God's will. Self-mastery. And really, this is much the way Rav Shimon Shkop is reading the Ramban. That Kedoshim Tiyu means self-mastery, not self-denial, not abstention, not going the wrong side. There's a tightrope to be walked. The tightrope is one side is excess and the other side is self-denial. Neither are the Jewish way. Kedoshim Tiyu is a tightrope of self-mastery, which is not the same as self-deprivation. Self-mastery is the highest art a man can practice. Self-mastery does not mean neglecting, stunting, killing, or destroying any of one's powers or faculties. I'm still reading from Hirsch. In and of themselves, the powers and faculties, from the most spiritual to the most sensual, that have been given to man, are neither good nor bad. They all have been given to us for exalted purposes, that we may use them to do God's will on earth. The Torah sets for each of them a positive purpose and negative limits. In the service of that purpose, and within those limits, all is holy and good. But when a person strays from that purpose and exceeds those limits, again, you can see that he's drawing strongly on the Ramban's interpretation, exceeding limits, excess, coarseness, and evil begin. As in any other act, virtuosity, great word, in this, the highest moral act, can be attained only through practice, training one's moral willpower to master the inclinations of the heart. But this training is not to be undertaken in the realm of the expressly forbidden, where any slip would result in wrongdoing. The training ground, says Rav Hirsch, the training ground for Kedusha is in the realm of the permitted. Have a good Shabbos.